And there arose a prophet, no, not in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Joshua lays out a historical story of how God, to whom the whole world belongs, reclaimed a portion of the creation from the powers of this world that had been claimed by others. It tells how God commanded his people, under the leadership of his servant Joshua, to take the land in his name and out of the hands of the idol worshiping Canaanites. In so doing, the Lord fulfilled his pledge, which he promised to Israel's ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The battles for Canaan were at their very core the Lord's war. God, giving his people under Joshua the authority to seize the promised land. In short, the conquered land was not to become Israel's possession by right of conquest, but rather it belonged to the Lord, and he had promised it to his people. In so doing, the land had to be cleared of idol worship and paganism. The occupying people and their wealth were not intended as a spoil of war for Israel to seize in order to enrich themselves, although some tried, but rather it was to be placed in the treasury of the Lord. If Israel became unfaithful to the commandments of God and continued to conform to the Canaanite culture and practice, it would in turn lose its place in the Lord's land, as Israel almost did in the days of the judges, and as it eventually did when it went into exile. And after many years of slavery in Egypt and 40 years in the desert, the Israelites were finally allowed to enter into the land promised to their fathers. Of course, Abraham never lived to see this promise fulfilled. But he died in faith, knowing that God's word would in fact come to pass. The land did not come without a price. Amid a series of battles in Canaan, God gave Israelites control over the entire country and gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to their forefathers. Brothers and sisters, during the past month, our daily readings in the book of Matthew present us with a partial fulfillment of these kind of events that we read in the Old Testament. In short, it's fair to say that the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. If one wants to know what's going on in the New Testament, it behooves us to have a thorough understanding of the Old Testament. From the genealogy of Jesus, his miraculous conception, to the layout of the law, the discipleship, the teachings, the parables, the life of Jesus, and eventually his death and resurrection, Matthew lays out the course of Jesus' life here on earth. Now, we might think that if we had Jesus in our midst today, which, by the way, we do, that life may be different. Sometimes maybe it's difficult to understand why some of the people around him did not bother to listen to what he had to say despite the countless miracles. And we say, well, why didn't they believe on him? Well, we can ask ourselves the very same question today. Because as we know, he is in our midst. We come here today to partake of this communion of the cup and the loaf to represent his body and blood until he comes. Because that's what he has asked us to do. And we can look throughout the book of Matthew and find numerous examples of people who weren't going to tolerate the preachings of this man, who weren't going to tolerate him coming into Jerusalem and telling people what to do. And more he preached, the more the opposition arose. And more he preached, and more there were those who tried to do away with him. And we say to ourselves, how could anyone do that? And I say, how can we today do that? You think of the works of the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests, those who plotted against him. They went out of their way to plot against God's Son. You know, it would cut into their profits, after all. They had a good thing going in Jerusalem. They had the people listening to every word they said. And when this man Jesus came forward with a message of hope and salvation that they simply couldn't match, they feared for their very existence financially and their standard in the community. There was something better. And this put them in a dire situation. And as we look at the world around us today, very little has changed. Let's look at a couple of examples. Today's reading, chapter 15. Speaking of the Pharisees and the scribes. Starting at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when eating bread. Yeah, I'm sure this was the biggest concern in the life of people. Oh, you didn't wash your hands before you ate dinner. Okay. Yeah, it would have been nice if they did. But you think that was really what they were getting at? You think that was really their big concern? Anything, any little thing that they could nitpick to try to make Jesus lose favor with the multitudes. I mean, we're talking a man who fed the thousands with a few fish. We're talking about a man who made lame men walk. We're talking about a man who made blind men see. A man who raised the dead. These are things that the church rulers could never begin to aspire to. So instead they had to find little nitpicky things to try to discredit Jesus. And every step of the way, they failed. Because Jesus always had an answer. You hypocrites, in verse 7, well did Elias prophesy to you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We cannot afford to allow our hearts to separate from our Christ. We cannot allow our hearts to separate from the hope that is before us. Because God has a plan and a purpose for this earth. As surely as he led the children of Israel out of the bonds of Egypt and into the promised land, he has a plan for his creation, and he is going to fulfill that plan with us or without us. But he is giving to every single person the opportunity to hear the message of salvation that his Son brought to us and be more than happy to grant us an everlasting place in his kingdom when his Son returns. We need to be watching and praying every day. We need to read from our Bibles every day. We have a good system as a community to read the Bible throughout the course of the year. It's a good system. Personally, I don't particularly use it. I like to just pick up the Bible and read straight through. I like putting on headphones and listening to a narrator with a nice voice read it as I follow along in the Bible. That works for me. But whatever works, get the Word of God into you. Whether you're listening to somebody read, whether you're reading it for yourself, it's immaterial. Follow the daily reading plan, use your own plan. Whatever you do, but there's no excuse not to read the Bible. There's no excuse not to come before God in prayer. You know what your needs are, and he's more than willing to answer those prayers and to answer your needs, because we all have individual needs, different things that can bother us. What may bother me may not bother you. The thing that's giving you problems may not affect me. But God knows our situation, and he's more than willing to help. He sent his son to die. Was it difficult for Jesus to die? Yes. He suffered a horrible death. What was the only thing worse? A father having to look down on this and knowing that he orchestrated this very plan. Can you imagine the hurt of watching your own child die? I can't imagine such a thing. Imagine how it would be knowing that it's your plan, that it had to happen. God had to have this take place. Jesus had to die. His blood had to be spilled. Because without his sacrifice, we would have no hope. He gave man the tree in the Garden of Eden. Eat of this tree of life. But man couldn't do what he was told. And he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from which he was expressly forbidden. As a result, they were cast out of the garden, removed from the tree of life, and eventually returned to the dust from which they were created. So God provided the sacrifice of animals. But that was not enough. Finally, he sends his son. And his son brought the word of salvation and truth to this earth, fulfilling the commandments of his Father, dying so that we may have a chance for life. And this opportunity is extended to everyone. He does have certain things he wants us to do, one of which to remember his sacrifice, which we plan to do today. He wants us to live life according to his word, not according to what we think is good, not according to what society teaches. He wants us to follow his rules, his commandments, in his ordinances as he commanded. Not difficult. Not difficult at all. But just like society then, society today thinks they can do things their own way. And that's just not going to work. Other examples in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, the very next chapter, we can turn over there. And again, verse 1, here we go. Pharisees, also with the Sadducees. Everybody remember one of the key differences to remember? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees did. It's sad not to believe in the resurrection, therefore you can remember those are the Sadducees. Yep. Anyway, the things you remember from Sunday school, yeah, I know. verse 1, and the Pharisees also where the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, in the morning it will be foul weather today. The sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Just like the sky, it's right in front of us. The hope of salvation is right in front of us. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is watch and pray. A wicked and adulterous generation, verse 4, seeking after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but for the sign of Jonah the prophet. And he left them and departed. This sign of Jonas the prophet, I wonder what that was all about. Sign of Jonas. We all remember Jonas. We read about him, a very popular story back in our Sunday school days. We know that Jonas is cast into the sea, that he's swallowed up by a great fish. 3 days later, he's spewing out onto dry land. How's that a sign? Well, for 3 days and three nights, Jonas was in the whale's belly, in the great fish's belly. And people will mock and say, How on earth could anyone survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish? It's impossible. Well, of course, God can intervene, but under normal circumstances, that's impossible. I agree. I don't think Jonas did survive in the whale's belly. I think he died and was raised from the dead on the third day, and that was a sign of Jonas the prophet, that the Son of Man shall be dead in the ground for 3 days, raised from the dead by his Father, and that he shall receive the gift of life. That, I believe, is a sign of Jonas the prophet. And we know that God did raise Jesus from the dead. And we know that in addition to being raised from the dead, that he received the resurrection. That is the completed process to immortality. He will never die again. And we too have that hope when he returns, that we will never, ever die again. There may even be those in this room who will never die. Christ may come back within the lifetime of some of the people in this room. I do not know. He doesn't know, only his Father. But it's immaterial. It really doesn't matter, because in a twinkling of the eye, we'll be raised and judged. And the judgment is his. But the choice that we live today, that choice is ours. So Jesus shows to us the example of how to live our lives. He showed the example of how to live his life when he was here, and some would follow and some would reject. And in 2,000 years, nothing has changed. There will be those who believe and those who will not. The choice is up to us. So, brothers and sisters, as we meet this morning at this table of communion, let us indeed examine ourselves. Let us consider the words of our brother Matthew. Remember the things that were done to Jesus when he was here by those who would reject him. Be mindful of the miracles that he performed and the parables that he taught. Let us be mindful of the great hope that is before us. Please to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For his is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.